You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor. Just like you, we're working hard to boost our direct booking strategy and reduce our dependence on Airbnb. But we were a little bit nervous about how we would verify guests who book directly with us. That's why we've started using Know Your Guest by Superhog.
Know Your Guest introduces guest screening seamlessly into our reservation process, allowing us to authenticate guest details in real time across multiple databases. This prevents fraud and unwanted parties. Talk about incredible peace of mind.
Plus, Superhog offers a damage waiver program to cover damages efficiently. You can leverage their damage protection plan that offers unmatched short-term rental protection up to $5 million for all verified bookings.
With Know Your Guest by Superhog, we're scaling our direct bookings without all the worry. Just click the link in our show notes and book your free Superhog demo today. Hello, listeners. Welcome back for another great episode. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. Let's start this episode like we do every week, and that is sharing one of you, our amazing listeners, who's using our hashtag on Instagram. That's hashtag #STRShareSunday. We share you here in the podcast like we're doing now on our Instagram account on Sundays to our entire email list. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week, we are sharing at Magnolia Holiday House. Again, that's at Magnolia Holiday House. Make sure to give them a follow. A couple of things I want to chat about specifically in their Airbnb listing that I love. They have, they're in Florida. So they have the, you know, a beach theme, but it's not cheesy to me at all. It's like really well done because I know, like, you know, Sarah and I live in Ohio. When we go to the beach, we do want to feel like we're at the beach. Like we like those beach accents. They have even an accent colors as you enter the home, like a blue and a turquoise. And I think that's just really, really well done. And then one of the things that I noticed throughout the house, in each photo, whether it be a piece of furniture, maybe they have staged some beverages or food, and even pillows to some of their glassware and dinnerware in their kitchen. Almost every photo has a pop of color. And it kept me kind of scrolling through the color. Like everything is very clean, I can tell, but I love these pops of color throughout. They were really well done and they kept me engaged as I was scrolling through their photos. So I would just have yourself go through your photos and kind of take a look, even like on their back patio. Everything is white, but the umbrella was blue and they had some fresh flowers out there. They have a bar cart, and on that bar cart, they made sure there was like a plant that's green and Pellegrino that was green. So just really thoughtful photos in their listing. So I want you to take a peek at that. And again, even some places in their outdoor area, if they had, they have white Adirondack chairs, but then they threw really bright pillows on them. So just really well done. I thought I saw like they have an outdoor shower, which you don't see. Like I love when I see the outdoor shower, but you can see they've actually staged the outdoor shower. They put like the towels that you would use in the outdoor shower out there. So you're like, oh, those will be ready for me when I return to the beach. So I think they just did a really excellent job of staging throughout their photos. And even their mailbox is like a part of a surfboard. So I love that they showed all of the elements where they're weaving in the beach and the beach theme. So well done, Magnolia Holiday House. But I want to do a little thing that Sarah and I had a debate before the show. We're going to share with you. Magnolia Holiday House, I noticed they didn't have a carbon monoxide detector. It was struck through as if they did not provide one. And so Sarah and I started chatting about it because I'm like, oh, they should just, I'm going to say they should definitely get that so it doesn't look like a safety hazard struck through. But then we started talking, this house is in Florida. They might not have, you know, maybe they don't have a gas oven. Maybe they don't even have gas heat. And so it's one of those things that, wait a second, can you even show, like, we don't even have an opportunity for carbon monoxide? So Magnolia or Holiday House, we're wondering, do you have not any gas at all in your home? And is that carbon monoxide? Would it be worth it just to put one in, even if you don't have any gas appliances, but that way it's not struck through on your Airbnb listing? So for those of you listening, I would take a look at your listing and see what amenities you have struck through, so your guest isn't seeing that also.
It used to make me really upset when Airbnb didn't distinguish. You had to have,
right,
when
it was both.
When,
right,
you clicked that you offered coffee, it said like coffee and breakfast.
Breakfast, yes. And then guests would be like, you didn't have breakfast. And you're like,
well, then, so at the beginning, I would like have
breakfast
granola bars.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, I don't know what to do. Because, like, yes, I have coffee. So sometimes
you're
Airbnb.
You're not going to make people eggs, Sarah? Come on.
Absolutely
rude.
Not.
Omelets? Omelet bar?
No.
Okay.
This is why I don't know that. I guess I could have a bed and breakfast, but make sure I have a cook.
A chef, yes.
Yeah. Because I don't even make eggs. Okay. Really pumped to introduce today's guest. We're going to hop the pond. This is someone we met when Annette and I were invited to that castle mastermind over in England. We met Louis Andrews, who is the director of OVO Network France. He corrects us in the interview. I think either way you say it is okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like Vrbo and VRBO.
Right.
They've had a transition.
But here's how he describes what OVO Network France is. It's a marketplace for high-end mountain homes in the French Alps. And we need to brag for him here. It's the recent winner of the Best Leisure Property Manager in the World award that was given to them at the Shorties. But here is where everyone is going to get a lot of value from today's episode. I promise you, you've never heard of the way Louis manages these properties. It is the most creative, out-of-the-box way, and they've been doing it for years. The way that he does it, I even checked myself during the interview, and I'm like, I've told people, like, there's no way you could do it the way he's doing it. And he is crushing it. And so I think there's a lot of value to help you guys think outside the box. There's more than one way to manage your property, have it fit your lifestyle, have it fit your creative way of getting things done. But really excited to get you all inspired with Louis' story.
Louis, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
So we're going to have to like clean up our act and get professional here. Unlike all that fun we had at the castle with you, because you're actually quite the savvy business guy. And we learned so many cool things about where you manage, how you manage. And I'll never forget Annette like filling me in. She goes, so I met that Louis guy. I was talking to him and like, I don't understand like how he runs his business. Like, I don't understand. So then we cornered you on the bus to wherever we were going, some excursion. And
the race course.
You, yes. All the questions. Yeah. So give us a backstory. Oh, go
well,
ahead.
Because let's say this is a thing that I didn't understand. Louis doesn't have to deal with turnovers.
He doesn't.
So my brain exploded. I'm like, how can you be in the short-term rental world with managing hundreds of properties and not have to deal with cleaning and maintenance? So my brain still actually is exploding and can't wrap my head around that. So Louis, explain to everybody about OVO Network and the type of management that you do and how it came about, because it is fascinating for those of us that had never even heard of that style of managing before.
Also, Louis, I think Annette pronounced it wrong. So also educate us on what your business, how you pronounce it.
It's called, interestingly, it used to actually be called OVO Network. And then at some point we realized that everyone was mispronouncing it. So we called it OVO Network, but
okay.
Usually it's the OGs that call it OVO. So that's fine, Annette. You're just an OG.
Okay, thank you.
So we have 218 high-end properties in the French Alps for an average capacity of 8 people, and with extra amenities ranging from your swimming pools to your jacuzzis and your saunas, to your pétanque court, that none of your audience will know what that is, so that's fine. But the Frenchies, if there's a Frenchie, they'll know what a pétanque court is. We were founded in 2008, back the same year that Airbnb was founded. So even, you know, from an industry perspective, no, we weren't yet synonymous with all being in the Airbnb industry. We were doing something else, short-term rentals, I guess. And we were basically developed as a way for at the heart of it, we were a technology solution for English owners to be able to optimize the rental of their second homes in the French Alps. And so we developed our own bespoke PMS, which is called PIMS, and we basically opened that up as a service that owners could kind of buy into and they could use to optimize the rental of their property, so their revenue and their occupancy rate. And over the years, that's kind of grown. So originally, it was very much the PMS or the distribution and things like that. And then little by little, we realized that we wanted to also kind of market around this niche that we were developing, which was high-end chalets in the French Alps. We started to build OvoNetwork.com, which is our booking platform or our marketplace, which garners, I think, something around more than 50,000 visits per month. So bearing in mind, we only have 218 properties. That's like a big, big amount of traffic. 85% of our bookings come direct. So again, that's industry leading. At the same time, we've got really good ratings on Airbnb with the longest running professional superhost in France on Airbnb. And on top of that, I'll just really big myself up. We've also recently, and we were there together at the castle when we won, but we've also won the best leisure property manager in the world at the Shorties as well. So we're doing well. And then the question that is amazing and that we talk about all the time is that, yeah, we don't actually do any of the physical property management, which is funny because obviously when you're at all these events, people always ask, what's your greatest challenge? What's your biggest challenge? And the answer is always like, oh, dealing with the cleaners and things like that. And we don't, it's usually dealing with the cleaners or dealing with the OTAs or dealing with your PMS, right? So we don't deal with the cleaners. We get 85% direct booking, so we don't deal with the OTAs. And we've built our own PMS, so we don't have that problem either. It's pretty cool.
Okay. And I want you to go back a little further because, correct me if I'm wrong, your father founded?
Yeah. Yeah. Company? So, okay. So the origin story then is that, yeah, the company's founded by two guys, one guy called Richard Little, who's basically this fintech genius that's had an incredibly successful career, who happens to have a second home in the French Alps. And my dad, who basically is an artist, he ran record labels in the UK, so music labels in the UK, and had music studios. He quits that life when he's around 35 years old and basically takes up skiing and enjoys that side of things. He's still an avid tech fan, and he's known as an avid tech fan by some of his neighbors. So the origin story is that the guy that invented bungee jumping is a guy called AJ Hackett, and he was one of our neighbors. And AJ Hackett, who's a New Zealander who has bungee jumping sites all around the world, basically says to my dad, right now I'm taking all my bookings through the phone. I'd like you to create a booking system because you like tech, you like technology. I'd like you to create a booking system for me to be able to take bungee jumping reservations. So they build that. And then after a while, he delivers that project and he's created that piece of tech. And then he's like, I now know how to make a booking system. What do I do with this knowledge? And that's when he talks with Richard Little, and together they kind of come up with this idea. Then they build a reservation system, not for bungee jumping, but for empty chalets in the French Alps.
Sarah, did we even actually meet Louis? I feel like we didn't even meet him. I've never heard of this bungee jumping gentleman. I feel
it's like
very...
we don't even know you.
This is so cool. Now, I'm going to get down to some numbers about this.
Yeah.
If I wanted to book a home with you in the French yeah. Alps in one of your yeah. chalets,
yeah.
What would that cost me, like for a week in busy season, USD? Do you know per
USD.
Dollar?
See, you had me until you said USD, and then you totally threw me. So
well,
I can't.
You know, we are Americans, so we want everything to be
okay.
An hour.
That's very American of you. That's fine.
It is.
It varies massively. I mean, you've just asked for peak season, so I can tell you some peak season. Peak season in euros can be around 10K, if I look at what that is in USD. Oh, the transfer rate's actually pretty flat right now. That's around 11K USD.
Okay.
I think it's really, I'm just going to go off on a tangent though, because I think it's a really, really interesting point to address, and is another thing that's hugely differential between us and a lot of our competitors and other people from the industry, is that when I say to you, I run chalets in the mountains, you're going to immediately imagine skiing and snow. However, we don't see it that way at all. And so we really, a lot of our competitors, especially locally speaking, they'll look at a chalet that's for rent and they'll go out and they'll rent it. And they'll try and sell, let's say, maybe 5 weeks in the year. So they'll sell Christmas, New Year, 3 weeks in February, okay? And they'll sell those 5 weeks for 20K. And at the end of that, they'll end up with, you know, 100K for the owner. And they'll say, there we go. They'll wipe their hands clean and they'll say, I've done my job. Now, the problem with this is that it means that it doesn't help the local economy, in that, you know, if you're a property manager or a cleaner or a gardener or an electrician or a jacuzzi maintenance guy, you're only working 5 weeks of the year, so that doesn't help. In terms of the local economy, in terms of, like, you know, the restaurants and the bars, again, only five weeks with people through, that doesn't really help either. And then we've got a real crisis right now, which is linked to, you know, legislation, sustainability and things like that, which is that empty properties aren't good for anyone. You know, right now, locals aren't able to live in the destinations and in the villages that they grew up in, because the prices have risen massively, because now you've got people that are just buying them as second homes and renting them out occasionally as investments. So, well, this is a long way to talk about pricing, but I think it's critical, is that what we really try and sell our owners on, and we don't sign owners if they don't agree with this. So if they're not in alignment with us on this, we say to them, go and work with somebody else. But we really try and make sure that whilst we're optimizing revenue, we're also, like, the number one thing that we're trying to optimize is occupancy rate. Mm-hmm. So right now we've got, whilst you guys probably think that we're a winter destination, the reality is that we're averaging around 49-50% year-round occupancy. And so that means that right now we're a winter destination, but we're also a summer destination. And one of the things that we're trying to tackle at the minute is the shoulder season, so autumn and spring. And that's what we're trying to optimize, because that's our whole goal here, is to support the local economy, especially in a changing environment, because there's less and less snow because of climate change, and therefore it's a questionable destination. We don't know where we're going in terms of its future, and that's really something that we're actively engaged in. And so therefore my point, which was a long way to go around it, is that we price in what we like to believe in an affordable way. So if you're going to look for, like, peak season in February, it's going to cost you a bit of money. It's going to cost you probably all the way up to, I think, per week, our most expensive days are around 20K. However, if you want to go in the off season, we can drop as low as like 1,500. Like, we really try and make it as affordable as possible, because we're all about also making sure that guests can come once during a non-expensive week and be really satisfied, and then come back the following winter because they've had such a nice time. So it's also about, like, capturing those guests, making those guests want to come back.
That's a really lovely, holistic way to look at, you know, your P&L and also the team that supports the business year round. Was that something that you guys realized, or did you always operate that way? And how has that affected, like, your team? Do you have the cream of the crop when it comes to working with, and I want to get into that too, like how you work with cleaners and the turnover people, because obviously, like, the reviews are going to matter. Like, it matters that you have this, like, holistic experience for your guests. But going back to it, did you guys always do that? And how has that affected the team that you're able to work with?
Great question. So in hindsight, we could say, yeah, we always worked that way, but I think that'd be lying. I think that we've fallen into this in the same way that, like, even the way that our fee structure and our commission is worked on is actually totally, and even the type of niche that we operate in, because we really like to talk about niches and the fact that we work in a very tightly defined niche, which then allows us to excel in that niche rather than trying to be an Airbnb, when actually Airbnb is already Airbnb, i.e. they're synonymous with the very thing that we do. So why try and compete with that? We're very happy to say, no, we're something totally different, and we're trying to be a bigger fish in a smaller pond rather than the opposite. But, like, from the fee perspective, originally our fees were way too low, like way too low, like absurdly too low. And what that meant is that the only way for us to make money was working with high-end chalets, not any type of property. And weirdly, that's then what allowed us to define that niche, is by basically having to only sign high-end chalets, because that was the only way for us to actually make any money off of our very small commission. And then that's basically become our strength, because that's now allowed us to define clearly what type of property we work with. With regards to the values, it's something that we're massively working on right now. I think that it's kind of something that we've always done. I think that none of us come from this quote unquote business background. Like, we're not a very capitalistic company. We're more of like this free flowing, people centric company, which is the only reason why I'm working in the business, because that's what I believe in. And therefore, we want it to be affordable. We don't want to be in these F off luxurious, big chalets that cost, you know, 40K per week, and where the staff are being mistreated, and there's this really high expectation around, like, the word luxury, for example. Like, we purposefully never use the word luxury, because we know that the expectations then all of a sudden, like, get turned on their head. So we always say high-end, we never say luxury. And because we've been going to, like, events and conferences, like, ever since 2013, even though we were this tiny company, I think we've always been at the forefront of the industry. So we've always really been tapped into how the industry works. And therefore, being engaged and seeing that as a strength is something that we've always done. And only now are we realizing what we're able to do in terms of our values and our brand positioning and our unique selling propositions. And only now are we actually really shifting our way of talking about the business. So all this thing about, you know, really supporting the local economy, we're kind of doing that right now as a contradiction to all this legislative stuff that's happening in France, which is, there's literally a law that's just been passed, which is called the anti-Airbnb law. And that's literally what on a senatorial level, that's what they're calling it. And we're saying, well, hang on, this is affecting like all property managers and all sorts of rental managers, not just Airbnb. So it's kind of like how to distinguish yourself from Airbnb, for example. And the answer is that we're not a company from San Francisco. We're people that live 40 minutes away from where these chalets are. So therefore, in terms of the value and the strength of the value and the human aspects, that's really something that we're pushing. And we're still working on it right now. I think that we're quite close to really tapping into something that is incredibly amazing. But we're starting to present ourselves in this way, which is a way that we believe in. And I think that that's really important, because otherwise you end up doing what's called purpose watching, where you just end up, yeah, it's all about purpose. And then it's kind of, you don't really believe in it. So we're still like fine tuning it, but we're starting to talk to all the resorts and talk to the local mayors and talk to the local tourist offices and the tourist boards and the restaurants and the bakeries and the lift pass people. Like, we're talking to everyone. We're actively engaged with all the local actors, and then our owners as well. And it's like you switch on a light bulb, and the way that people are receptive to you when you say to them, if you say to them, I'm a property manager, I rent out chalets, they're like, yeah, okay, cool. If you say to them, I bring in, we've got the numbers, I've not got them in front of me, but like, it is interesting. Like, I bring in, I think we've brought in like over 270,000 guests through our doors since we've been founded. So then we've got the numbers of what that represents in terms of average spend per week per person. So then you go to the local mayor and you go, this is how much I represent for your economy. And then they go, oh, wow, that's amazing. So we've got this whole thing of people buying into this incredibly. And where I'll just finish on this point is that I think it illustrates this amazingly, is that we held an owner event 2 weeks ago where we were talking about our values and what we were trying to do and the fact that we care about them and we want them to care about their guests and we want them to care about the local economy as well. And it was fantastic because the following day, I received a WhatsApp vocal message that lasted 4.5 minutes from one of my owners. And it's just this basically really long rant, very similar to the really long rant that I'm doing right now, but a really long rant from this owner. And the whole thing is about how proud he is of being part of OVO Network. insane as a property manager to reach that. So there you go.
Yeah. That's incredible.
So Louis, these property owners, are they seeking you out, or is their property, like, would they consider their property manager that's doing the turnovers and the cleans and the maintenance, are they property managers also? And who are you seeking? Are you trying to find the owners or the property managers? Like, how do you find your clients?
Great question. So the multiple ways. We, as I said at the top, we've got a huge amount of traffic that comes to our website. Mm-hmm. And on our website, at the top right corner, we've actually got an add your property button. So what that does is that when you click on that, it then takes you to what we've called our calculator. And our calculator basically is a interactive page where you say, like, this is my type of property. This is the number of bedrooms. This is the number of swimming pools. This is the number of toilets, whatever you want. And then, and where it is, and like the square meterage and stuff like that. You hit submit, you'll instantly in your email receive an assessment report basically from us saying, this is how much you can make. That instantly goes into our sales team's pipe drive, and the sales team normally instantly call up the owner.
Are you listening, sales team? Better be instantly.
Exactly. And call up that person. So there's that way. But then, like, I think it's like 60% of our owners were previously guests. So that's another way that we like really attract. Because obviously, you've got to remember that the destination that we're in is like it's a dream destination, right? So people are dreaming of moving there, dreaming of owning a property there. And the only reason why how you can really like get a feel for that dream is by staying in a property yourself. So we've got a lot of people that come in and like in our guest review, we ask the question, like, would you be interested in buying a property in the French Alps? And then feed them into an email loop, which then means that we're starting to like work on them and make sure that, you know, we're giving them all the information that they need to potentially then become owners themselves. And then to go back to the question, which is around property management, and we don't call ourselves a property manager, actually, we call ourselves a platform basically. But then the local actors, we call them chalet managers. Okay. So the chalet managers are the people that do the welcoming and that manage the cleaning team. So they're contracted directly by the owners. And the way that it works from us is that we have loads of contacts that are chalet managers. And then when an owner signs with us because they found us either through Google or as a past guest or through a referral, they'll then say to us, who can do the physical management of my property? And then we'll introduce them to three people and we'll say, here's this person, this person, this person. And then they contract directly with this person. And I think the point that's interesting about this is that, and you may disagree with me because you're not applying this system, is that for me, I just feel like knowing how to price, market, distribute, and strategize and optimize a property's performance is an entirely different job to knowing how to clean really well and manage really well and be welcoming. Because, you know, you should see some of our people be behind the scenes. If you put them in front of guests, the guests would run away. But when they're hidden behind the website, I'm joking, but when they're hidden behind the website, obviously that's not a problem. So to me, they're very clearly distinct jobs. And I do find it interesting because I feel like we're one of the only companies that I've ever met that operates in this way. And yet I just feel like it removes so many of the challenges. And then to just go back to your question though, Annette, is that the way that, so we've got the owners come to us through various different platforms and channels. But where we do strike gold is when a chalet manager falls totally in love with our system because they want to focus on what they're really good at. So the cleaning and the welcoming. They find that we're incredibly complementary. And we've got a few now that basically work with us on let's call it an exclusive basis, which means that every single property that they sign on their end, they'll tell their owner, if you want to work with me, you've got to work with Over Network. And then that's where we're like really hitting gold.
Wow. This is good. This is good stuff. Taking notes.
Because there's a lot of listeners out there who are, I would like to say, are like me, and I'm a control freak, right? Especially when it comes to controlling a 5-star stay. How does that trust start with the chalet managers? Do you, at when you are maybe onboarding a new chalet manager, or you're, hey, you're growing, you need more of them. Like, what are you looking for? And how do you vet to make sure that they are going to uphold your standards that you advertise on your website and in your marketing? Like, how does that work?
I gave a presentation at Scale Barcelona last year all about how to get good guest reviews. I kind of cheated because at the end I said the way to get good guest reviews is to only work with properties that are going to get good guest reviews. So the type of property is like really important, because it's the English expression, which may sound a bit rude, is you can't polish a turd. I don't know if you say that in America as well. But like,
I don't think so. Right.
You get what I mean, right? So we don't work with turds. We only work with really nice properties. And then also, like, even just with regards to the pricing, like the pricing is so important in terms of managing expectations, because if somebody overpays, but then that goes back to not using luxury, for example. It's all about setting expectations first and foremost. And that's why, like, back in 2000 and probably like 10, like from the very get-go of Network, we totally understood the importance of photography. And I think that I'm sure you guys talk about it all the time, how important photography is. So that's fantastic. But we were like at the time when we were doing good photography, this is literally at the time where everyone was taking like wonky pictures with their cell phones, right? So, and good photography isn't just a photo that looks nice, because in our business, it's also, the photography has to be transparent. So you have, if there's like a plug socket, or if the property is close to a road, that needs to be reflected in the photography, because otherwise you're setting yourself up for failure, because the guests are coming with an expectation. If you don't meet that, our whole point is that we actually almost undersell the property so that it's a nice surprise when you arrive, rather than overselling the property and for it to be a disappointment, because we know that those first 10 minutes when you arrive in a property are the most important, right? But the guest, okay, so to go back to the guest review point then, which is like all around, okay, we're all control freaks. We really want to have that full control. So we provide training to the property managers or the chalet managers if they want it. We have like we have an online training course, and we do also do in-person training courses. We meet with them on a fairly regular basis to really help them. We've got a really, really, really high open rate and response rate to all our guest questionnaires, where we have, it's a two-part guest questionnaire. So the first one is like, you've got your net promoter score. So on a scale of 0 to 10, how likely are you to recommend Over Network to a friend? And then there's a couple of other questions. And then it's actually a two-parter in the sense that they can fill in that and submit it, or they can say, I'm happy to answer more. And if you answer more, we then have loads and loads of more questions if people have got time. And all of this is about like the cleanliness and how welcoming the chalet manager is and things like that. And we just hold people accountable and, yeah, make sure that they're trained in the right way. And weirdly, like I think in 2023, we were the second highest rated professional hosts on Airbnb in the entirety of Europe. So like, and yet we don't do the physical property management. Like, it's insane the fact that we might have to do that.
Well, you're proving me wrong, because I'm sure I've given people advice in the past of like, no, like you've got to be in charge of finding the cleaners, and you have to be in charge of XYZ. And like, you're just proving me wrong, which I love, because there is more than one, we say here, there's more than one way to skin a cat, which actually probably is not a thing I shouldn't say anymore, because I actually love animals. But there's more than one way to do things.
Are you the merchant of record when someone books a reservation?
No, they book directly with the owner.
Hey, new hosts. Are you swimming in a sea of questions like, how do I deter parties? How many towels should I have, and where should I get them? What sheet should I use? What smart lock is best? What are the best practices when listing on Airbnb? How do I write a good title and description? Or maybe you don't even have your first property yet and you're wondering where to find it and how to know if it's a good deal. Well, we've been working on a solution to help new hosts get all their questions answered for over a year now, and we're finally proud and ready to share with you Thanks for Visiting's Hosting Handbook. It is the ultimate step-by-step digital resource guide for new hosts. The Hosting Handbook includes searchable videos and resources specifically tailored for you, the new host. Have a question about how to price your property? Use the Hosting Handbook's search functionality and type in pricing, and boom. Videos and resources all about pricing your property will populate. Want to know what to include in your short-term rental kitchen? Just type in kitchen. videos of Annette and me in an actual running short-term rental kitchen will appear, walking you through all the do's and don'ts we've learned over our 10 plus years of hosting. We've been stockpiling host questions for years, including what to do when a guest asks you challenging questions about discounts and pricing and so much more. Get all the videos, downloads, and resources you need to fast track yourself from new host to super host. Go to thanksforvisiting.com/handbook. That's thanksforvisiting.com/handbook. Get the ultimate blueprint for hosting today.
Now we're digging in. Then let's talk about your, do you call it commission? Do you call it fee? What's the terminology? See, you're shaking your, Louis shaking his head at me because he's like, no. What is it then when I am an owner and I am happily paying for, I'm going to call it OVO because that's what I'm going to do here. Network yep. services. OG. What, how am I paying and what am I paying and how are you presenting this return on my invest? What type of investment? Like, how do you frame that for the owner?
We don't call it commission. We call them fees. So we have two main fees. There are a bit more than two, but they're like mainly like small admin fees. So I'll just talk about the main two because they're the ones that are interesting to the listeners. And we're going to then circle back around on direct bookings because this is where it gets spicy. So yeah. The fees that we have is we have two. We have a service fee and a distribution fee. So the service fee is, I'll tell you the percentage, is 12.5%. And that's something that's applied on every single booking, regardless of the source. So what that covers is our main service. So the property management software, the revenue management tools, the distribution, the marketing. I mean, our newsletter's got like something like 35,000 subscribers. You both know that we've got this 90,000 Instagram account as well. So that's all covered by the service fee, okay? And then for ages, we only had just a service fee. And that was fine. But then we realized that all these other platforms were charging distribution fees. So, you know, Airbnb is charging 15%, et cetera, booking.com the same. And yet when you realize that 85% of every single booking is coming through your own platform, you're going, well, hang on a second here. We're providing an amazing service for free. And that was fantastic for our historical owners. And we've got no regret with that. But now what we've introduced is a distribution fee, which is, again, 12.5%. And the distribution fee is taken for every single booking that comes directly on our ivonetwork.com platform, which has proved to be really successful for us and allow us to kind of have a bit more room to develop the projects that we need to develop in order to maintain and secure the type of performance that our owners are used to. Because just as an aside, but since 2019, supply has absolutely exploded in the French Alps. It's increased by 89%. So the market's totally oversaturated and is really, really competitive. So we've had to like make sure that we're in a position of strength in order to combat that.
Oof. And I mean, your owners, I'm sure, because you're going above and beyond, you're not booking 5 weeks, they're gladly paying the fee. Do you ever have a rub? Like when you had these grandfathered properties that paid no distribution fee and then all of a sudden you brought that in, was that what type of dance had to happen there? Or was it like, did we go 5%, 10%? Or was it like new year, new fee? Let's go.
Yeah. So we went five for 2 years and then we went 12.5. I won't lie to you. I am still dancing.
Okay. So we appreciate that.
There's still these challenges, which is totally normal. Like I met with an owner in his chalet last week and he's decided to leave us for various reasons, mainly because he's retired and sold his business. His wife has retired and sold her business and they've been with us for 10 years and it's a really lovely discussion because I think the slight mistake, I don't know if it's a mistake, but the slight challenge that we've got is that we can perform so well, like so well. Like we have some chalets, their occupancy rate year round is at 97%. Okay. So this is in a destination that nobody's ever heard of. Like, we're achieving when the owners, philosophy aligns with our strategy, like the sky's the limit and we can do amazing things together. The only thing is that historically, we're going back to like how we talk about our brand and how we talk about our product, is that historically the way that we talked about it is as if all of this happened by magic. So we would never overly communicate to any of our owners about all the hard work that we were doing. It was kind of like flick of a switch, sit back, count the cash, everything's lovely, right? However, that's not the reality. And so it's because it's actually so much work, as you both know, and it's so much time and so much effort. So right now, that's one of the things that we're trying to deal with, is that we're saying to people, look, this is a ton of work, but they're going, yeah, but I'm used to 90% occupancy and maybe this year I'm at 85. And then when you say, yeah, but the market's effectively doubled in 5 years in terms of supply and demand's dropping because we're no longer in the period, the COVID period, and there's loads of geopolitical tensions and all this stuff going on. There's no snow, like so many outside factors. The reality is that they're just going to look at their bottom line and go, yeah, but I'm earning less money. I'm going to try, I'll try and do it myself. So I think right now we're at a period where it's some owners are kind of asking themselves questions. And these are mainly owners that do the welcoming themselves, which is like a certain type of owner, right? Because they have that physical contact with the guests, which then means that they can actually go, just send me a text message and I'll take cash. So there's like, that's a real challenge, right?
Right.
And I think that some of those owners, a couple of them, like really not that many, but a couple of them are deciding to flap their own wings and fly away and try. Sadly, my guess is that they'll struggle because the market is so saturated and because they're not associated with a brand which has such prevalent strength and size and impact on a local level. And therefore, my guess is that some of them will swallow their pride and come back, and some of them maybe not. But that is one of the challenges that we're facing today.
For sure. It sounds like it's common, and this is for all of our listeners that are our co-hosts. These are the same things you're going to come up against is what Louis and they are contending with. But it's really interesting. Sarah and I haven't really chatted with anyone internationally about what post-COVID people, you know, I guess I've never even like thought about how that impacted the entire world with drivable destinations and people not being able to leave their country. So are you feeling that kind of back to balance pre-COVID reservations also because people are traveling everywhere now? Have you guys felt that tremendously? I mean, it sounds like you've got a lot going on, like oversaturation and lack of snow plus maybe post-COVID.
Yeah.
Vacations. Okay. And how are you, because this will help our hosts that are listening right now, that because it sounds, yeah, you have three different things. Well, four, you know, we're in an election year here in the US. So spending gets really crazy. It's a volatile year. The climate change is very interesting because we have beach towns and mountain towns kind of going through the same thing that you're chatting with. Oversaturation. And how are you though? How are you talking to your team, and you said you're high occupancy, but is this a daily battle? You know, you guys are in the trenches too. What are you doing with your team, with your owners to combat this and make sure that you're being able to offset, you know, some of these like wild tides that are coming in right now? What is the conversation, you know, with your team and your owners to just keep morale high and like stay in the business?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's all, I think the key words in everything that we do is around education, right? So it's educating people on reality, educating people on the market, educating people on what to expect. And I think that that's one thing that we've kind of really shifted towards right now. I don't know how many of your listeners will have a company set up in this way, but we basically have account managers within OVO Network who are the sole point of contact between the owner and the business. Okay. So they're very much the champions, they're the consultants, they're the business performance experts, if you will, that advise our owners on a daily basis. And that was one of our teams that was maybe just not optimized in the most efficient way. I think that was like the big shift that we've implemented, and we're currently implementing, is that I think that to like really clearly illustrate what I mean is that the account managers, I think historically, they'd come into work, they'd open their email, they'd look at the like top email, and that would be their priority for the next like 1 hour, right? So it's like reactive work. So what we're trying to do right now is to shift from being reactive to proactive. And what that means is that you're looking at the market trends and you're looking at stuff like COVID or the geopolitical context and things like that. And you're going, okay, well, I can see that this problem's happening. I can see that we've had two bad winters 2 years in a row. Next winter, rather than letting this happen again and for this owner to blow up in my face and say, you've screwed up 3 years in a row now, I'm going to leave, you anticipate that and you're proactive about it now. And you say, look, this is what's happened over the past 2 years. This is what's going to happen again if we don't adapt. Let's anticipate, because what we've realized is that, like, I have so many conversations now with owners where it gets to a kind of a difficult point maybe in their relationship with us, and they don't want to listen to our pricing. And that I basically get called in, you know, as you've kind of described, on the front line, last resorts, coming in to basically try and save this relationship. And sometimes it doesn't work and sometimes it does. And when it does, it's incredible, because I, you know, we have kind of these heart-to-heart conversations with owners, and we educate and we explain. We say, look, this is not the same. Okay, maybe 2 years ago during COVID, we told you to massively increase your pricing. And yes, you're right. Now we're asking you to decrease your pricing. And maybe that we're therefore like going against, and it's a bit hypocritical because we're going against what we've said ourselves, right? But however, we educate them on the new context that they're currently operating in, the new state of the market. And then what's amazing is that for the people that end up listening to us and agreeing and saying, okay, well, I am going to review my pricing strategy, say, the results are usually so positive that like they speak for themselves. Like we had one owner, they like, I'll give you a quick example. So we had one owner that they stayed with us for 15 months and they never listened to our pricing strategy. And they got 2 bookings in total. And they made 23,000 euros total because they were pricing really high. And so that's, I guess, 24,000 USD. And they basically went, yeah, we're not satisfied here. We're going to leave. And they left. Then what's cool is that the new owners signed with us again. So they were again with us. It was the same property, different owners. The owners applied our pricing strategy and they made in the same amount of time 230,000 euros. So that's an example of like, if we get buy-in and if we educate people in the right way and they agree to listen to us, again, like, sky's the limit.
Those numbers are real. And I think that's for our listeners that haven't maybe taken advantage of even a third party like dynamic pricing plugin, please take the time to look at that, because what Louis said, like, these are, you do need to have a pricing strategy. And it's not going to be overnight that it's going to like come into play for you, but it's well worth it once you develop the strategy and can implement it, and maybe worth it for you to hire someone to help you with that pricing strategy if you haven't had someone helping you with the pricing before.
Yeah,
So did you send that old owner? Did you send him that report? Don't you kind of want to like just sock it to him and like accidentally slip it in the mail? Oh, sorry, it went to the wrong email. It went to the wrong address.
Yeah. No, we haven't.
Or do you use that as a case study though?
That is literally a case study that we have. So we've got that. We've got other ones. Like, we had another one. It's quite good. We had a property in one of the villages in which we operate. They were with one of our competitors. Again, we're really good friends with all our competitors, so it's no ill feelings. But they were with one of our competitors for a year, and they obtained one booking. And it's now been just about a year since they've been with us, and we've obtained 43 bookings.
So, I mean, that's the difference right there. I mean, it's in the numbers. I know like we're kind of like, wait a second, what do you mean you don't do any of the turnovers? You don't do any maintenance? But it's like, it's the data.
It gives us time to focus on what, like, I have so much respect for people that do the cleaning and the welcoming and all the in-person exchanges. But I know that I probably wouldn't be capable of having that level of patience and that attention to detail. But then on my end, so therefore I'm like, leaving them to what they're really good at. And then what we're really good at is data. And we often say like lead with data. That's because, mm-hmm. you know, it's like without data, the quote is, without data, you're just another person with an opinion. And that's like so right, right? So like you're talking to owners and they're like, you know, we've always got these conversations. My chalet's worth this amount per week. And you're like, yeah, but it's not really, is it? And they're like, it's the best chalet in the village. Yes, it is. And then they set their pricing way too high. And then the week goes by or the weeks go by, they get zero bookings. And therefore, you can set your pricing at 10,000 euros, 20,000 euros. Unless that converts to a booking, it's at zero, right? So we really try and come to that and say, look, don't look on, okay, quick tip on pricing. So don't look at Airbnb and look at what your neighbors are pricing their property at. Because if it's still available on Airbnb, that means that it's not sold. And that's like one of the like very basic mistake that I think so many of our owners make, is that they go, yeah, but Jean-Michel, who has the chalet next door, he's pricing at X amount. It's like, yeah, but you can still see that he's priced at X amount, which means that he's not sold yet. So don't look at him. We've got the data of all the properties that have sold. Look at our data. So it's, I think leading with data is really important. And then pricing is the key to every single thing that we do. So pricing is super important.
I want to make sure I understand too, Louis. So your owner, do you guys do pricing for your owners, or can they opt out of you doing the pricing for them?
Yeah, so it's a total cooperative exercise. So the way that it works is that we'll suggest pricing to our owners, and then those owners can either agree to the pricing, or they can review the pricing, or they can basically decide that they want to do something totally different. Usually we really try and make sure that they do agree to the pricing, because at the end of the day, we know what's best for them. But yeah, it's a collaborative way. But it's a good question to ask, because that is one of our challenges, is that we can't just set pricing for our owners and say, this is what we're pricing your property at. Because again, we're all about, it's like a business partnership to help them run their own business, and the contracts with, you know, them and their guest. It's not, we're not just signing a mandate and then running the chalet for 3 years and paying them or whatever. It's very much a collaborative way of working.
I think you're giving so many people, and also listeners, let's say you're not interested in starting a property management company or a co-hosting company. I think you can also take a lot away from this episode of just getting out of your own way as an owner, because we can get so close to our properties, Louis, like all the blood, sweat, and tears you do of finding the property and then furnishing the property. And then like all the things you see on social media, like you have these very aspirational goals for your property, but that there is a market, it does exist.
Yep.
And especially today, we face the same things here in the US, whether you're in a destination, like we're in Columbus, Ohio, which is not a vacation destination, but we still face the same, new hotels are popping up in our downtown area and people have more options than ever. And so you just have to be proactive, look at the data, but also it's like data from 3 years ago isn't going to help us forecast for data for next year either. So you also have to just like all encompassing look at what's ahead of us. So how are you guys doing that? Right? Like the data from even 2022, 2023 is helpful, but what's next for OVO Network? And like, what are you guys doing to adapt? And are you hopeful? Do you think that we're going to get, I don't know, like, is travel going to be, is it going to normalize a little bit, or what are you guys seeing there?
Yeah, it will normalize. It's just, we don't know what the normal is. Like we've been referencing to all our owners, we're saying like, we're in a new normal, because the reality is like, even if you're looking back at COVID, like us as a business, we are not the same business we were in 2019. So we can't take that as a reference, because, you know, we've doubled the amount of properties that we're listing and we've got so much more of a presence. And then as you're saying, is that the market's totally shifted as well. I mean, one thing that I think is hugely valuable is that we have, whilst there are loads of amazing revenue management third-party tools, we've got an in-house revenue manager who's literally, you know, on the payroll, full-time employee, her role is revenue manager. And for us, that's entirely, I think, the right solution. And her role is then, you know, to look at market trends, because that's what your question's around eventually. It's like, it's around, you know, the market trends and how to anticipate them, how to be proactive about them. And basically her whole role is looking at pricing. And I think that what's important is that this is what, like, we've tried so many third-party revenue management tools just kind of assist us. And we've always found that our own systems and our own built, you know, bespoke systems are better for the particular needs that we need, because it's such a huge question around locality for us. So like if your property is 20 meters away from the ski slopes or a kilometer away, or if you're south facing or north facing, like all these things affect the value of your property massively, in the same way that like from one village to the other, it's like the renting prices can be absolutely insane. So we've got somebody that's literally, yeah, full-time, who's really good and whose whole job is analyzing all of this and anticipating all of this. And then now you're right, is that it's now, again, we're falling back on this education subject of like, it's a new normal and we can't take the COVID bubble. We can't take the pre-COVID stuff. So we've kind of got to accept that. And that's why like we've often recently we've been saying that like 2023 is finally like a real reference year. And now our goal is to build on top of that year, basically.
Oh, okay. Right there. That's the gold for all of our listeners, the reference year, because we know people are going through it. But this is what I love. If you have 2023 numbers for your reference year, this is the one thing with short-term rentals that's the bummer, but also that comforting, is you have 365 days. Most of us right now could do back of the napkin math. If I book at 100% at my highest, this is back of the highest rate, you know, highest daily rate, 100% occupancy, that is pretty much the max you're going to make. Potential, like it's the max you can make. And it's just like knowing those numbers and sitting in that, we have so many hosts that like they're unrealistic about what their property can earn. So like that's, yeah. Do that math for yourself. Do 100% occupancy at that top rate. Like, and that's not going to happen. But I think if you at least know that and equip yourself with that, it's going to lead you to not feeling, because we have people like owners, you know, that own these homes that are feeling bad. And it's like, it will take away that feeling when you know the data. So no, like exactly. do yourself a favor, listeners, do yourself a favor. Do you and your spouse, if you own the property with your spouse, your business partner, know your numbers, because it's just going to take out all that emotion. We have a lot of people like, should we sell my property? That's like, maybe you should, but don't do it without knowing the math and being equipped with the data ahead of time. Because like Louis said, it's just an opinion, and you might be selling a really great property with these opinions that you have right now, because it's not making what you thought, your opinion thought it should make. So it really, the data, it's a lot of people don't want to face the numbers, but facing the numbers are going to help you make these, you know, financial decisions for your property and probably for your family. So I love that, maybe taking a look, like, let's kind of let go of those COVID numbers, everyone, and look at that 2023 and make that your reference number. Because we're like, Louis looking at 218 properties, I think you said at the beginning. And that's what, you know, you guys could sit and lament all day long on these old numbers, but that's not what it is. So let's be thankful for it. It's what happened, but now it's time to rebalance and have new numbers. So I really love that you have that, you know, letting your owners know that too, that's the reference year that you're looking at. So cool.
Yeah. Correct.
All right. So last question, where should we buy a house in the French Alps, Sarah? Where would you buy? If you were going to buy right now, Louis, we've got somebody out there that's going to come to you. They want to buy. If we wanted to buy, are you the person to come to? Is there a button on your website? Do you want to buy a property?
No, we're not. We're not big fans of estate agents, so we're not an estate agent ourselves.
Well, that's a whole nother episode. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I'll see you next week. So no, we don't sell properties ourselves. However, we do have estate agent partners who we're partnered with and who know of us. And again, like who we're, you know, contractual partners with. So they can advise you. And it's a really good investment as well, because we've seen that owners that run successful property management business with OVO Network and achieve, you know, the type of figures that we can achieve, they then manage to, on the resale market, sell their property for around like 15 to 20% more than they would have if it wasn't a successful property rental business. So there's a lot of potential. And yeah, you can come to us and we'll be able to advise you on who to contact, and also advise you on like what type of property you should be buying, because, you know, there's huge things like bedroom to bathroom ratio and equipment and stuff like that that's really important when you're buying a short-term rental property. So we can advise you on that, and where is the most cost-effective resort to buy as well.
And for any of our listeners that want to travel to the French Alps, they want to stay, they're training, you know, planning a bucket list trip, where would you advise them to go and to stay?
Anywhere that we have on our website.
Okay, you're backing it up.
So our tagline is unique chalets in authentic destinations. So there's a lot under that. You know, unique means that there's a wow factor. It means that it's not just your terrible Airbnb that's four white walls and it's totally impersonal, and there's no distinction between your apartment or house or whatever chalet to the next one, to the neighbor's one. We really try and focus on properties that have got something unique, whether that be the property itself or the amenities, the facility, the view, because obviously we've got some incredible views in our chalets. And yeah, that's obviously the main thing that's really important. And then authentic destinations is also key because we basically prioritize destinations that are authentic. And authentic means that it's not your really high altitude, super expensive, luxurious, probably you end up paying too much for your stay than it's worth. And so we really focus on authentic destinations, which means that there's a lot more, you know, it just goes back to the values, you know, making it, helping the local economy and going to see the cows and eating local cheese and just all this stuff that's a real experience. And I think I will say, because it's quite interesting, we've had a few discussions recently with regards to American owners, right? They're looking to invest and to buy. And I think that a point that's really important to highlight is the fact that it's actually, even to travel to, it's like less expensive to travel to France and stay in an OVO Network property than it is for most Americans to travel to, you know, Denver or Utah and do that type of stay. Because in terms of pricing, it's just, we're way more affordable. And again, the whole trip is way more authentic. So definitely check out OVOnetwork.com and rent a property with us. It'll be worth it.
That goes to my next question is, Louis, if you've inspired someone, I don't know, are you up for conversations? If so, where can people find you?
Yeah, just hit me up on LinkedIn. I'll talk, as you can see, a lot to anyone that's willing to listen.
Which is what we love about you, like your willingness to share how you run your business and how proud you are. You can just see how easy it is for you to promote and talk about your company because you truly believe in everything that you're doing. So that's, in our industry, it's a breath of fresh air, and that you've been doing it for so long. And this isn't just something you guys have, you know, picked up. Not that there's anything wrong with getting on the bandwagon during COVID, but it's really lovely that you've been doing it for so long and you still believe in it so much. And yeah, so very excited to see where you guys go next. Thanks for that invitation, everyone. We'll put Louis' information in our show notes so you could poke around, learn about him. He's also super fun just to hang around and have a beer with. So
only snake bites. He only drinks snake bites.
Yeah, I was going to say. Hashtag snake bites. Yeah.
Oh, it's okay. And then everybody go to OVO Network. Check it out because I know they're at 50,000, you know, website hits. Let's get them to like 55. Let's have all of our listeners hit the site, maybe book a stay. If you book a stay, let us know. We'll be jealous. Definitely go to the website though, because I think you gave a lot of inspiration on those calls to action of like, do you want to sign up your property with us? I love your post stay. You know, surveys of like, would you like to own a property? If you are a real estate agent here, if you are a co-host here, a property manager, what a great way to ask your guest on their way out if they would like to own a property in the area. Because the last thing I want to leave with, and we did talk about this when we were together, Louis, is that you only need one person to say, yes, we'd like to own a property here. Or you only need one person that DMs you that's interested in being a property owner. And I think we get jaded by all of these 50,000 web and Instagram and this and that. But can you just, as a parting word, let our listeners know how that the power of one and just getting that one lead, you know, what that can generate for their businesses or themselves, that one guest reoccurring?
Yeah. But are you saying this in reference to something that we've already discussed then?
Yes. Just like talking about Instagram and that it doesn't need to be, you know, hundreds of thousands of people like liking your photos or DMing. It could be one DM of or someone seeing a post.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Really the example that comes to mind with regards to this and with regards to Instagram is that we've got an Instagram account that's now called OVOnetwork.chalets. And that's got 90,000 followers on it. And it's a tool that we've been using to basically develop our commercial offering, but it's more been run just as a fan page of chalets. And we're now currently switching to it being our main Instagram account. And we've been running it for quite a few years now. But the power of one is like, okay, so what's the ROI on developing an Instagram page like that? And for a long time, we didn't really have the answer. And then since then, we basically ended up obtaining one owner totally randomly who contacted us originally through Instagram and sent us a message and said, I really like your page. How can I have my photos to appear on your Instagram page? And we said, oh, well, you've got to join OVO Network, of course. You've got to be part of the family. that was the entry point, right? That's how we started to discuss who we were. And her property is absolutely amazing. It's in Switzerland. And I've just checked her, the gross booking value figures, and she's at 195,000 euros. So that's, there you go. That's the power of one. One person reached out, came to us, and we've made a successful return on that. And it's, again, I think it all comes back to, again, just the human contact side of things. And even the power of one is also just the power of like one discussion, right? Like in the example where I was saying, like, you talk to one owner who's dissatisfied and who's grumpy and who isn't achieving the results that they want to achieve, in part because they're not applying the right strategy. And if you have that one discussion where you meet them face to face and you visit their property and you listen to their stories and you see how much affection and love they have for their property, because, you know, these secondhand homes are their babies, you know, that's their pride and joy. That's like their biggest investment in their whole lives. And you listen to them and then you tell them, you educate them, and you tell them in a quite transparent way that, look, your strategy right now doesn't align and doesn't fit with your aspirations, but together we can achieve something. If you have the right values and you have that one conversation in the right way, you can totally flip around the whole scenario and achieve something amazing together. So for sure. I think that it's good to look at stuff on a macro level, but also on a micro level.
Yeah, because you could have, just to relate it to our owner operators that are listening, it could be one DM on Instagram that is a direct booking, and then they come back year after year after year, and you do that math. And then it could be one guest that gives you not so good reviews, but you have that conversation and it helps you get many more good reviews because you had to have that honest conversation about maybe what you need to fix at your property or something that was off in your property. So it is the power of one there and being able to stretch it to everyone. So Louis, everybody go check out OVO Network and DM Louis on LinkedIn. I'm sure he'll chat you up. And then we're just so thankful for your time. So hopefully we'll see you soon at another castle on another racetrack.
Yeah, because who knows? We're the other side of the world, so we've got to link up again somehow and drink some snake bite and play the billiard game that we were playing, which was very fun as well.
You just told me it's cheaper to go to the French Alps than Denver, right. So I'm sold. So it's fine. So Annette, there we go. That's all I need to tell my CFO, Annette Grant. But Louis, thank you so much for your time. With that, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are.
Thanks for visiting.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week.
Want to know our best kept hosting secrets? They're all inside our SDR must-haves master list, our secret weapon that continues to transform ordinary host into extraordinary host.
The must-haves master list is a checklist that we've been perfecting for over 12 years.
Picture this: your guest checks in to your short-term rental and they're instantly wowed by the thoughtful touches and impeccable amenities. Why? Because you've got the TFB must-haves master list by your side.
This checklist has all the insider secrets that even the best host didn't know they were missing.
We challenge you to take the checklist into your property today. See how many items you can mark off of this list. You didn't get them all? No worries. This is your chance to level up. So go to hostchecklist.com and grab your free copy. That's hostchecklist.com to download our coveted checklist today.